We've got a game in London. None of the big games are on the main slate. Todd Gurley looks like he's in a fantastic spot again. Sound like week six? It's not. Welcome to week seven, and welcome to the Future DFS podcast. I'm Garen, alongside Christian. How you doing, Christian?
Garen, I'm doing great today. I'm so excited for this slate. I mean, it's fantasy football, right? This is what we live, breathe, and sleep, so I'm pumped.
Amen. Me too, man. Oh, how'd you do last week?
You know, I did pretty good. I pushed in a couple, and then I cashed in whatever I didn't push in. So, I mean, I didn't win crazy, but I made a couple bucks, you know, which is, hey, that's a win for me.
Right, yeah.
The biggest thing that I saw that kind of killed not just me, but everybody was the Chicago Bears, man. You see Brock Osweiler in there, and you're just thinking, money. Chalkiest play on the slate, and sure enough, it was a trap game. They did decent at best, and they were a little over-owned in some, and they were under-owned in some. I think people saw that and pivoted, which is a pretty good play. If you got lucky, because it shouldn't always be like that. And, yeah, that's the biggest thing I took from last week.
Yeah, any given Sunday, man.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's a reason that Brock Osweiler isn't a starter, wasn't named a starter for any team. And the week before, you know, we thought we had Chicago figured out. And, man, it just – whole different game plan look on against the Dolphins. It just – I don't know. But we'll stick to the system. We'll keep on doing what we do. It pays off way more often than it doesn't. So, you know, that's one of the key things, guys. When you find what works for you, just stick to the system week in and week out, day in and day out. Don't chase points. Don't chase the whatever's new. Stay on the path. You'll win way more than you lose. So, aside from football, man, you got anything else going this week? Anything you want to talk about?
So this week, you know, MLB playoffs are getting close to finished, you know. Just a reminder for people that as much fun and kick-butt things we do during the season, once you get to playoff time for any sport, it's important to really temper expectations, start playing really light because you're dealing with such a smaller pool of players. Things are hit and miss. Crazy stuff happens. And it's just important to remember that. You know, we get excited and we start rolling. I know at the end of football season every year, I'm like, I'm going to win every single playoff week. I just killed it during the weeks. I went like 15 out of 16 weeks. I just feel great. And then I'll go and I'll get ahead of myself and I'll lose the first week. I'm like, okay, I got to remember, like, anything can happen. You know, you really got to pace yourself on the smaller slates.
Yeah.
So,
and baseball, coaches, the managers, they do different things. You know, they understand during the season, it's a long season. And they play as if it's a long season, but once you get to the playoffs, they're playing to win right now. So their strategy switches up. So you kind of have to be ready to pivot at a moment's notice and almost change your strategy from how you played DFS MLB during the regular season. And it's almost a completely different monster, in the postseason. But, yeah, absolutely, you know, play lighter and go into it. Like you said, you temper your expectations. That's absolutely fantastic advice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on the baseball topic, did you see the Altuve Betts play? I mean, talk about umps really screwing it up, man. Yeah. That was rough.
Yeah. You rooting for anybody in particular to take it all this year?
I'm not exactly rooting for anybody. You know, I have no dog in the race right now, but just based off the playoffs, I think the Red Sox are going to be hard to beat.
Yeah.
They are just stacked, man. They've got such a great team. They're playing well right now. I thought Houston was one of the best teams coming into it, especially after smoking the Indians, you know. And, man, Boston just made them look bad.
Yeah, they did. It was almost as if it wasn't the Houston that – it certainly didn't look like the Houston that was there last year, obviously. And I know that Houston wasn't on the heater that they were during the regular season, but coming into the end of the regular season, it looked like they were turning things around. So I thought it was going to be definitely more than a 4-1 series. I thought it was going to be maybe come down to a game 6-7. But yeah, I personally want to see Milwaukee take it all. It was one of my grandfather's favorite teams, so really like to see them pull it out. That'd be kind of cool. They're up 5-2 right now in the game, top of the fifth.
Yeah, they've got a great team. I think they're missing just a little bit of that star power to take down somebody like the Red Sox.
Yeah, they are.
I think overall as a team, they're very cohesive. They're a very put-together team. But, you know, when it comes down to championship games or big games, you need a star or two to really – and MLB isn't as far off as NBA is nowadays, right? It's a completely different monster. But I still think you need that one star-studded player. And then you got somebody like Mookie Betts rolling around on the Red Sox or Martinez. And, oh, man, that's going to be a tough matchup.
Well, I'll tell you what. If Milwaukee ends up beating the Dodgers in the series, future DFS drinking game, guys, if it is the Red Sox versus the Milwaukee Brewers, every time they call the Milwaukee Brewers a Cinderella story, if they're facing the Red Sox, take a drink. Trust me, you'll go through a lot of beer, I promise.
You're going to feel good after every game, guaranteed.
Right. So we've got NBA kind of in full swing now. Guys, as we've said before, we don't just cover football. NBA, MLB, NHL, football, couple of the smaller sports, we take care of that also. Have you jumped into the NBA yet? Or are you
I'm not fully? I'm still full football swing. I'll start right around like week 10. Start really diving into NBA deeper. Okay. I like the balance for me personally playing. I like the balance of letting the first couple games come out, you know, not first couple, a lot of games happen by week 10, but getting that the statistics and analytics for NBA out there, you know?
Yeah.
Because there are so many more games, you rely on that a lot more. Plus I get to keep rolling with my NFL stuff and then I start transitioning over a little bit.
I hear you. Well, I'll tell you what, man, FutureCast is killing it for NBA already. I thought it was going to take a few weeks for the numbers to kind of titrate and, you know, settle down. But I mean, right out of the gate, it's just been money every night. Last night, I was three game slate last night. I play light on three game slates. So I just ran the FutureCast Optimal for both FanDuel and DraftKings, and it killed it in both of them. So we had several members send in screenshots this morning that just played the Optimal. So it's rolling. It's doing fantastic tonight also. So
excellent. And for all you listeners who don't know, FutureCast is unlike anything you've ever played with before. I've always been like the optimizers and optimal lineup. You know, I've been the anti guy for that just through my years of DFS. And then I started playing the FutureCast, and it's not your everyday optimizer. This thing is created to actually give our expert picks and opinions and stats and everything and put it all together into one and just comes out with these lineups that are unreal. I mean, you take our notes, you plug a player or two in, you run this thing, and just for cash, I mean, it's almost a lock every night. It's really incredible.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love it. Which at the end of the podcast, guys, we take the notes that we've gone over for NFL, And just to let you know, Kristen, we're going to run FutureCast for the Sunday Monday slate, not just the main slate today at the end of this. So yeah, we're going to do
Nice.
run a lineup through FutureCast, put it out there on the pod for you guys to grab and kind of see a little bit of what FutureCast can do. But if you want full access to it, go to www.futuredfs.com, or you can find us at facebook.com/futuredfs, and get signed up. Articles every day. We've got live chat. We've got cheat sheets. We've got tools. We've got FutureCast. So, I mean, we've got the whole nine yards. You pay one price, you get every sport. So it's really the best deal out there as far as DFS content providing a goes. And I'm not just saying that from a biased point of view. I'm saying that as somebody who's been in this industry, has been a part of this industry for years, checked out other companies, and yeah, obviously personally I feel warm and fuzzy about this one, but it really is. It is the best. So futuredfs.com or facebook.com/futuredfs. And yeah, you ready to hop into this NFL slate, man?
Absolutely. Let's jump on it. So just how we do every week, guys. We go through every game on not just the slate, but in the NFL that hasn't played already. We go start with the highest over-unders because those are the most important games in cash, really. And then we work our way down and we give cash picks, GPP picks, and just kind of our insight on the game through each game. And yeah, we'll take those notes, we'll plug it in, and we'll go from there. So jumping on the first game. So this is one thing that you talked about in the intro that people need to take into consideration for their lineups is that most of these high scoring over unders and most of these games with these star studded players are not actually on the main slates. So our first game has a 58.5 point over under. It's the Chiefs and the Bengals, and that is Sunday prime time. So we're not going to have that. If you've got some spare cash in your FanDuel or DraftKings account and you want to run some exciting single game lineups, this is going to be the game to do it because it's going to be crazy. Both offenses are on fire. There's not one person from this game I do not like. So because of that, you are risking a lot, right? Because anybody could just blow up. At the same time, if you get that lucky lineup, plug the MVP in the right spot, you could be sitting pretty with some big cash in your account after that.
Hey, and
Starting on the Chiefs side.
as we're going through
Oh,
these
go ahead.
games, like you said, we're going game by game. Let's, as we're into each game, kind of go position by position, talk about who we like, who we don't like. And we'll just start off at the quarterback spot. Is there anybody there that you're feeling?
Andy Dalton, man, he's the quarterback I want from this game based on his price and what he's gonna have to do to keep up with the Chiefs. He's a locked and loaded QB1. Obviously Patrick Mahomes is awesome. He's an amazing player, but he is a little higher price from the slate. So I'm rolling with, the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton, in this game.
Absolutely. Yeah, I
Heading on to the running backs. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
looking at our cheat sheet, I've got Andy Dalton projected for quite a few more passes than Pat Mahomes. I completely agree with you. I like him so much better. And don't get me wrong, Patrick Mahomes is going to do Patrick Mahomes type things. I think the guy at this point is a proven commodity. I don't know if you heard when the Chiefs played the Patriots, Tom Brady said to him, "Hey, just give me one or two more years and this is all yours, man." And I completely think that's right on the money. This guy is just absolutely worth any amount of hype, if not more than that he was given. So
Yeah, he's most definitely the future of the quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, he's incredible. I mean, it seems like he likes throwing off balance, feet crossed, and from his back leg more than he likes in the pocket. And so he's dangerous. I mean, you just can't, you could run him to the other side of the field. It doesn't even matter. He can make a crossbody throw for, you know, 50 yards and kill you. And that's why Dalton's so much better in this game, because it's going to take one or two plays against that Bengals D to score, you know? So yes, he'll rack up points, but Dalton's going to have to throw it more. He's going to have to really play catch up. And he's just gonna rake it in, man.
For anybody who's looking at this game, and you know, everybody's thinking Pat Mahomes this year because of what he's been doing. Guys, Andy Dalton's not much different. Let's see, Patrick Mahomes has a 64% completion percentage. Andy Dalton's got a 65% pass attempts per game. Mahomes is at 35. Andy Dalton's at 38. So, I mean, you're getting pretty much the same player for less money. And game script says Andy Dalton is going to be airing it out more than Patrick Mahomes is going to have to. So.
Yep. And if you're playing those single game slates, just remember 85% of the time you want to be plugging a quarterback into the MVP spot, because inherently quarterbacks score more points. So if you could find somebody for a discount who is going to have to score a lot of points, I mean, to me, that's where majority of my my tournament lineups are going to be on the single game, with Dalton in the MVP. And then I'll probably run the same line and then just cycle through who's in the MVP spot.
Yep. And that's another thing. We'll come back to that if we don't get through this week. You know, I'd like to talk about some single game strategy, because really kind of starting to get into that a little bit this year. What about the running back position? Who do we like there?
So for this game, I like both running backs, both Hunt and Mixon. Mm-hmm. Mixon is going to be an integral part of the offense. So I think he edges Hunt out just a little bit, because the Chiefs are so dynamic and they have so many people who can score and get things done. There are certain games during this season already that Hunt has had a decent stat line, but he's not blown up. And this might be another one of those games. You know, Tyreek Hill might catch one pass for, you know, 65 yards and a touchdown. And then you might have Kelsey, you know, take two from the goal line. And then you might, you know, so that there's a lot of things that happen there. So Mixon's going to be forced to catch a lot of passes out of the backfield. He's their bell cow. So he edges Hunt just a little bit, but I definitely think both running backs are
absolutely vulnerable. Yeah, I completely agree. I like Mixon a little bit better this week also. I've got him projected almost exactly the same thing, both between 75 to just under 80 yards. On the season, Mixon's a little bit better, but I mean, not a ton. Mixon's price is $1,000 or $100 cheaper. So I really don't think you can go wrong with either one of these guys, but you know, if it comes down to choosing between one or the other, I'm choosing Mixon this week. So wide receivers.
Right? That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Plug them all in. Can I get a few extra spots?
I love Green. I love Boyd. I really, really, really like Tyreek Hill. I think all three of these guys, especially AJ Green, he's my personal top pick in this game. I think the guy's just going to feast.
Yeah, you can't find too many more players built like AJ Green. The guy's a monster. He's a great route runner, and I think he's gonna be open a lot. You know, Boyd's gonna get his work done. Hill's gonna get a huge play or two. But I think AJ Green, especially in DraftKings, where you get a full point per reception, I mean, I can't even tell you how many receptions he's gonna catch. It's gonna be crazy. He's gonna get targeted so many times. They have to. They're gonna have to be playing catch up. So. Yep. It's going to be exciting.
And I really like AJ Green for GPPs. If you look at the price, AJ Green's 8,800. The other two wide receivers, three if you want to toss in Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill's 7,800, Tyler Boyd 6,800, Sammy Watkins is 6,400. So everybody knows that this game is going to be a high scoring game. People are going to want to get pieces of it. And they're going to see the price differences between these four wide receivers. And they're going to see AJ Green is the most expensive. So I really think that's going to pull ownership away from him. I mean, not completely, obviously, but I think he'll be the lowest owned in this game. And I absolutely want to take advantage of that, especially in GPPs.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Tyler Boyd is going to be the chalkiest, realistically, because he's cheaper and he's been having great games. And then Tyreek Hill is, everybody knows him, right? The guy's crazy good.
Yeah.
So I think AJ Green's going to be the sleeper of the bunch, which is crazy because he's the most
Right.
talented out of all of them.
But it works out like that sometimes, guys. And I've mentioned this every week in the podcast is you don't have to find the craziest players to win a GPP. Sometimes it's, the biggest star out there, and people are off of them for one reason or another. So yeah, I like green. I like green in cash also. I definitely not something that I'm going to stay away from in cash. We got tight ends to talk about. All right.
Yeah, I mean that's a quick one. Kelce or Uzomah, they're both great plays. Obviously, Kelce's gonna be a lot more expensive. He'll probably catch one more touchdown for that price. Nothing too crazy. Definitely don't play a defense here.
Absolutely not.
Not with an over under like almost
Not
60
even an
points.
option. So you know what? I like Kelce better. And I don't know if I'm necessarily going to go with the tight end from this game. There's some other options out there on the slate that I like better. But real quick, just talking about CJ Uzomah, I really like this kid. I think that he's got a really, really great future ahead of him. I think that, I wish nothing but the best for Tyler Kroft. I hope he heals. I hope he is able to continue his career if that's what he chooses to do. But I think CJ Uzomah, if he's not the future number one tight end for the Bengals, I think that he's going to definitely be a good starter for some team in the NFL, going forward. Yeah, he's got all the right metrics. So.
Yeah, I get behind that. I think he's great. I like him in this game. He is a like a season long waiver wire guy for me. I think you could definitely pick him up, start him if he's there. I think he's gonna do good.
Absolutely. What game do you have up next on this?
Next up, I got Falcons Giants at a 54-point over under. This is the Monday night game. This is another one not on your main slate. But it is on that Sunday Monday slate. In this game, starting at quarterback, I'm not really too into either of the guys here. Obviously, Matty Ice is always a great play, but I think there's enough guys around him in much better positions or even for cheaper prices in just as good positions where he's not a must play, but I would not tell you not to
Right.
play him. He's a great spot. I wouldn't touch Manning with a 10-foot pole right now. He's just not what he used to be, and he wasn't even that crazy good when he was good. He wasn't just some like first ballot Hall of Famer
Yeah.
guy. I mean, he was a game manager. He threw well, but right now he's struggling. He should have been benched last year. They should have drafted a quarterback, and they're in a mess right
They
now.
are. And I mean, they skipped on a quarterback to take Saquon Barkley. It's really, really hard to argue against taking Saquon Barkley because the guy is just a superstar mega beast. But yeah, I remember, I'm going to date myself a little bit, but I'm in college and I'm watching Peyton Manning and he's being interviewed and he's talking about Eli. And he said, and I'll never forget, he's like, "You guys watch out. When Eli gets here, he's 10 times better than I am." Nope. No, Peyton. He isn't.
Not
Sorry,
even
buddy.
close.
You're wrong there. Yeah, I think that Yeah. And I'm not even – I don't want either quarterback from this game. So, on to running backs.
Yeah, so Saquon Barkley, obviously, like you said, the guy's a beast. He's a game-breaking type of running back, so he's definitely always viable in fantasy. I don't think he's going to win the Giants more games because you have to have a little more than one star running back, but he's definitely always an option, especially against the Falcons' defense, not too strong, and they're giving it up to the running backs pretty often. Yep. They're a team you want to target right now going against. And then on the other side, I like Ito Smith. He's like a flex play, GPP flyer type. He's not the most sexy player on the matchup. He's the right price with the right opportunity for me. Tevin Coleman kind of reminds me of Latavius Murray this year, where even in pretty decent opportunities, being the workhorse back with his lead back out, he hasn't really done anything crazy. He hasn't done bad, but he just have these big breakout games that you should when you're getting straight up volume. So if I was to play a Falcons running back, it would definitely be Ito.
Yeah, I like Ito, and I really, really like Ito in season long. So if he's still on your waiver wire, which I doubt at this point he is, but hey, you never know. I would definitely take a look if he's there. I'd scoop him up because here's what I've noticed over the past couple of years with Freeman and Coleman. The Falcons really seem to like keeping Tevin Coleman at like the 40% back. So with Freeman on IR, I think that Ito Smith is going to end up becoming the primary ball carrier. I think he's going to, it's going to definitely be a timeshare. He's not going to be the Saquon Barkley of his team where he's carrying the ball, 100% of the time, but I think he'll carry it more than Tevin Coleman, and he's got the ability to make his own space where Tevin Coleman doesn't really. So, yeah, I'm all over Ito Smith. I'll probably have him in a couple of lineups.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just his price is right. He's a great player. And like you said, the Falcons, I don't think it's a – I mean, metrically it's a Coleman thing, but I feel like they just like to run their second running back a lot. You know, I think they just use him. Even when Freeman was the star, Coleman always got work. He was a guy that you can play and start as an RB2, even as the backup, and that doesn't come very often. So
right.
I think they're going to use Ito just like they used Coleman, which is a great, great, great spot for him.
Yep. Just scrub wide receivers in this game. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
Bunch of no names. No, there's great wide receivers here. I don't necessarily love them. I think Julio Jones is a GPP play. I'd keep an eye out for what's going on with his other receivers, Sanu and Ridley. Ridley looks like he just got back to practice today. So if he plays, that kind of takes a little bit away from Jones, but still they're going to have to run him a little lighter because he is injured.
Right.
Which makes me really like Jones for GPP because he's expensive. He's not catching touchdowns right now. People are kind of shying away from him because it's a what have you done for me lately league. And he has an opportunity to go great here, but he's not something I'd say, lock him, load him for cash. Right.
I haven't read the practice report from today. Did he practice fully today?
Really? Yeah. This is his first practice this week though. So,
yeah.
So what I have to double check that. He might have returned to practice today.
Okay. Yeah, I knew that he was coming back, but I wasn't sure if he was going to be a full participant or not. So I need to go back and look at that. When we're writing up our analysis, I'll put that. So, guys, Don't forget www.futuredfs.com or facebook.com/futuredfs. You know, we give a lot here on the pod, but we take a deeper dive and we kind of narrow the focus on exactly who you want to grab and the players that you want to put into FutureCast, or if, you know, we just really kind of narrow things down. So go sign up, join the family. Love to have you. So let me ask you real quick while we're talking about this game. We're not too hot on the quarterbacks. The running backs were like, eh. The wide receivers were, eh. But it's the second highest total on the slate. Where do you think the points are coming from in this game?
So this is actually a game that I'm still debating on targeting for my sports betting write-up. Mm-hmm. I'm questionable if it hits that 54-point over-under. I'm kind of leaning towards the under. Atlanta is going to get far enough ahead where I don't think they have to continue to blow up the Giants. And I don't like the Giants' offense enough to think that they're going to be able to swing for the fences and keep up with them.
Right.
So I'm kind of leaning towards the under. Obviously, anything could happen, but I think that's kind of why I'm just turned off by this game.
I really am too. I love when the Monday game is juicy, and I definitely want pieces of it. But and the Vegas says I want pieces of it. But you know, as we're doing our analysis, I'm looking at the numbers. I'm like, ew. I don't hate Austin Hooper at his price, but I mean, I think he'll return value, but nothing spectacular. I mean, if there was one player that I definitely wanted to have, that I said is the if I'm going to absolutely play a player from this game, it's probably going to be Julio. Yeah.
I think he's the only player who you know is going to get volume at least. You don't know what's going to happen with OBJ because Manning's playing so bad. Yeah. Shepard gave you a horrible game last week. I would just wait to see what happens there. You know, there's so many things going on in this game that even though it's got a high over-under, I'm just kind of shying away from it a little bit.
Ingram's back, right?
He's back.
That makes me like Shepard even less.
Exactly. So, guys, just as we're talking through these games and you hear us backing off a game – that's a high over under. That's definitely a game that you can think about for a GPP pivot or two. Just because we're not the only guys who are probably going to think like this. Most analysts are going to look at games and kind of be pretty similar for different reasons. Right.
Yep.
So that makes games like this a pretty good GPP pivot game. So, definitely like Julio in that regard.
Absolutely agree. Anything else for this game, or are we ready to move on to the next one?
No, I think that wraps this game up. Gets me to a real exciting game here. We got the Rams at the 49ers, 52.5-point over under.
Yep.
I am pumped about this game. This is the first high over under game we have on the main slate. And there's so many great things going on in here.
Yeah.
Starting at the quarterback, Jared Goff is one of my highest projected quarterbacks, not only in season long, in DFS. He's in my write-up for my NFL notes this week. He's just in such a beautiful position here. His weapons, I mean, he lost Kupp, but his team is so dynamic. I hate to say it, but Kupp isn't that big of a loss in terms of what he still has, right?
No, not at all.
The 49ers defense is ugly. Yeah. But they are still playing football really hard. We saw that last week where they shocked everybody. They came out. They would not give up. So on the other side of the ball, I will tell you what. I actually kind of like CJ Beathard. I'm not calling him a cash lock, but on a slate where you have a wide gap in high price players and low price players, if you wanted to squeeze in, let's say, Todd Gurley and Zeke, you can throw him in there. He's going to give you, you know, possibly 250 and two touchdowns, which is exactly what you look for in a cheap or streaming quarterback.
Yep.
So, and despite how great the Rams are, their defense is not perfect. They're 13th in passing yards allowed per game, and they're 14th or 15th in pass DVOA, which means you can throw the ball on them. And we saw Beathard come out and have to throw the ball. So he's definitely an option. Plug him in all your GPPs if you want, and he could even make a cash lineup or two if you need that value there, that cash savings.
I absolutely like him for both this week, man. I see him throwing about 35 times, getting a touchdown, possibly even rushing for a touchdown. He uses his legs. Yeah, I mean, I don't think people are going to be on him. I think they're going to see the Rams, view the Rams as the dominant team, and not touching C.J. Beathard. Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, great call, great play there. All right, let's get to the the most obvious play on the slate, the running back. All right, Todd Gurley, guys. Yeah, he's expensive. Yeah, he's that good. He's so worth it. You pay that much for him, and you're basically getting like a player and a half to two players, based on how many points he's scoring a game. So feel free to lock him in there. There's some value on this slate, so you could definitely afford him.
Yep.
And yeah, I love him.
I mean, we don't have to really go into a deep dive analysis on Todd Gurley. It's Todd Gurley, guys. If you don't know who Todd Gurley is, you're probably not listening to this podcast anyway. He's going to break 100 yards. Dude's going to get at least a touchdown. And you're going to spend $10,200 on him on FanDuel, $9,800 on DraftKings, which makes me really like him on DraftKings because you get a full point PPR on DraftKings. And Todd Gurley does it all. He catches the ball. He runs the ball. I'm not sure if he's ever thrown for a touchdown, but I'm sure the guy's capable of it. and you're going to be perfectly happy paying every penny that you paid for him. He's going to pay it off. So
let's be real. With how good Todd Gurley's been playing, he could probably start for some teams, right? At quarterback. Oh, that's awesome. And then the other side of the ball for the 49ers running backs, just stay away. That's a hot mess over there.
So let's talk quick about Raheem Mostert though. He looked like he was saying, "Hey, guys, here I am." You know, last week, and he had a good bit of production. So, do you think because the NFL is a "What have you done for me lately?" and you know, people kind of flock to the flame. You think people are – I'm not sure if Matt Breida is going to play. I know he's questionable right now. Do you think that people are going to take a flyer on Mostert?
I think you might get people who do and let them.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. I'm staying away from there. I think Matt Breida might actually end up playing. If he doesn't, I don't even know how to pronounce his name properly. But
Raheem Mostert.
Mostert. Yeah, Mostert. Give me some mustard.
Yeah.
No, if Breida is out, I mean, he's definitely somebody that you technically could play because he didn't do bad. He had a pretty nice game. He said, "Come look at me," like you said. But I think there's way more valuable injury plays this week that you don't need to get that dirty and play technically a third string running back, right?
Yep. Yeah, if you guys have an extra spot on your season long and you want to stash him for a week or two, see what he does, go ahead and do that. I can get behind doing that. But, yeah, don't be the smartest guy in the room and think that you're going to take him this week and take down a GPP with him. It's just not going to happen. Watch us get an email. "Hey, I grabbed this guy and I wanted GPP." whatever, you got lucky.
Oh, that's how it works, right?
Yep. So no Cooper Kupp. What are we looking at for wide receivers?
So in my write-up, I have the Rams wide receivers as absolute locks. I love Jared Goff. So Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks, I mean, pick your poison, plug them in. They're going to get you what they need to do. I prefer Woods just slightly more.
Yeah, his floor is a little bit higher.
Yep, and he's only $200 more, so it's not like you're paying $1,000 more for, you know, the same tier, really, because that's what they are. It's kind of opposite to Thielen and Diggs, who are very close to the same tier this week, and Diggs is about $1,000 cheaper, right? Where you could go get Woods, who most people are going to have statted much higher than Cooks, even though Cooks is in a great spot, and you're only paying $200 more. I mean, he's very close to a lock for me.
Yeah. I've got him projected out at 80 yards. I've got both of them, both Cooks and Woods, projected to get a touchdown. So, yeah, either one, but if I'm picking my poison, I'm picking Woods over Cooks. And then the other side of the ball, what do you Marquise Goodwin? Pierre Garçon.
Yeah. I like Marquise Goodwin. He's another guy, like we talked about last week, the Niners coming to play. He came to play last year with Jimmy G towards the end of the season when they went on the little undefeated streak. He looked great. He was playing well. He was running routes well. He was being aggressive. And I think it took him a couple weeks to get used to Beathard, and looks like they've got a little connection going on now. So he's definitely a guy to consider playing. He's not my, you know, value lock or mid-tier lock by any means, but he's definitely somebody to look at in a GPP game who's going to get you some points. He's going to do well. He's going to be in a good position, especially because I like Beathard.
Yep. And one of my favorite GPP game stacks this week is Beathard and Goodwin, and then running it back with either Woods or Cooks or Josh Reynolds.
Yes, Josh Reynolds. He's going to be in a great position with Kupp out. Definitely not safe for cash, but I love him in GPPs. He's a guy who's going to get you – who could get you a lot of points.
Especially if he plays in the slot as much as I think he's going to play in the slot this week. I think that he's got the potential. Again, like, not cash at all, not even a consideration, but plugging Beathard and Goodwin and then – maybe running it back with Josh Reynolds. I don't hate it.
Yeah, I like it. Like it. Great call.
Tight ends, we got George Kittle.
Yeah, I'd consider Kittle because I do like Beathard. Then that's it.
Yeah.
Enough said there.
He's George Kittle is in my top five favorite tight ends this week. I think he's in a really good position. I think he's not going to be super high owned for GPPs. And I'm not interested at all in Gerald Everett on the Rams side of the ball. So.
Yeah. Do you have anything more for this game?
Nope. Not really on either one of these defenses. So.
Me neither.
Move right along.
All right, next up, I've got Ravens at Saints, 50-point over-under. And this is another game on our main slate. And this is another game where you have some opportunity for some plays here. I'm really excited to see this game as a football fan, not so much as a DFS player. I'm staying away from the Saints side of the ball about completely.
Yeah.
In DFS, at least, the Ravens defenses, they're just great. They're the best defense in the NFL right now. I'd consider them for a GPP play most definitely because the Saints offense is super dynamic.
I am considering them for a GPP play. I like them a lot for GPP.
Yeah. They're going to get points scored on them. No doubt.
Nope.
But they're going to sack Drew Brees. They're going to get an interception. They might force a fumble. They're just such a well-put-together team that I love them. You never know when they're going to go, you know, a pick six or two like the Broncos did last night.
Right. Oh, so great game.
Yeah, that's a whole nother topic, man. But yeah, love the Ravens D. This game is a game where I think we can just kind of shout out names here because there's not many strong plays.
Joe Flacco.
Joe, yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. Joe Flacco, he's another cheap cash play I'm looking at. Like I said, the Saints are going to score points. Joe Flacco is going to have to throw the ball. And guess what? Joe Flacco has weapons now.
Yes, he does.
Joe Flacco can still throw an accurate football. So, I plug him in for cash, man. He's gonna make a lot of completions. He's going to have to throw the ball. The game script says he's going to have to keep up with the Saints. And I'm all about that.
Absolutely.
And then for GPPs, John Brown.
Yep.
I think he's gonna catch a long one, and that's all you need from him.
I like John Brown. I like Willie Snead. I like Michael Crabtree. I like all the wide receivers in this game with Flacco. But jumping back to running backs real quick, we started this segment saying we don't want to touch the Saints side of the ball. What do you think the ownership is going to be like for Kamara and Ingram? Do you think that people are going to say that either one of them are matchup proof, go ahead and plug them in? Do you think people are going to be off of them and maybe that's a reason to pivot to one or the other one in the GPP?
So you're going to have two parties for this game. You're going to have the Kamara truthers who are going to just say, yeah, that was Mark Ingram's, you know, return to form game. They're going to buy a week, which I believe I said that. They're going to say Kamara is game script proof. And, you know, he pretty much is. Even if the defense is tough, he'll catch some balls. So I like him a little more in DK where he's a little cheaper. But so you're going to have I think you're going to have about half of the people playing DFS saying that's where Kamara is. They're going to love him. And then you're going to have the other half who are pivoting away from him because Ingram did look so good, man. He was fresh. He was running the ball. He was hitting holes hard and just knocking people over. So you're going to have those people who are going to stay away from a clouded backfield, especially when you have plays like Gurley and Zeke on the slate who are just in so much better positions. Yep.
Completely agree. So, and we've touched on wide receivers already. Tight ends. I don't know. Nothing really for me in this game as far as tight ends are concerned.
Yeah. No, I'm staying away from that.
And
so next up. Oh, do you have anything else?
I was going to say, yeah, and the defense again. Baltimore, I like them for GPP. So, next game up.
Yeah. Next game up. All right, we got the Patriots and Bears at a 49.5-point over-under.
Bears.
Second best defense in the NFL?
Yeah, unless they're playing against the Dolphins.
Yeah, what happened there? But I still like them as a defense. I'm not as scared of them. Because what the Dolphins did to them, but they're a good team. They're putting it together. Starting at the quarterback position, I love Tom Brady and GPPs this week. You saw what Osweiler did to the Bears, and then you look at Tom Brady compared to Brock, and it's like a full ship of platinum, gold, and every other crazy expensive metal in the world to compare to like a broken penny on the side of the street.
Yep. I mean, that's pretty much spot on. I look for Tom to get a couple touchdowns in this game, throw for almost 300 yards. I mean, I think Tom's going to do Tom things, which honestly, as much as I like the Bears defense, I don't love them this week. So,
No, I'm not playing them this week. I'm not looking at any defenses here. because I do think the Bears are going to keep up with the Patriots. I think their defense is not good enough to score crazy points in fantasy or season long, but I think it's good enough to make this a game.
Yep. Yeah, I don't see either team running away with this, and I don't think the Patriots have a lock to win this one either. I think the Patriots are favored by what, 2.5 on this?
Yeah, they're going around between 2.5 and 3.5, depending on which books you're looking at. So no, I don't think they're locked to win. I mean, that's a field goal game or just over a field goal. So it's definitely a toss up. I like the Bears here. Mitch Trubisky is not a DFS play for me this week, but if you need a streamer in season long, he's probably already snatched up because he was a great streamer these past 2 weeks, but I think you're going to get one more week out.
Yeah, I saw some numbers today. He got picked up quite a bit this week off of waiver wires. And for good reason, I think he's going to put up good numbers this week. Patriots defense isn't anything to get excited about. Running backs, who you like? Anybody from this game?
Yeah, a lot from this game. This is definitely a game I'm looking at for running backs, and I'll tell you why. For the Patriots side, Sony Michel and James White, they are GPP gold. People are going to shy away from them because the Bears defense, because they're so good against the run. And then you go and you look who the Bears have played, right? Let me pull up their roster here to remind everybody, or their schedule, excuse me. But they've played the Buccaneers. Oh, they don't have their running backs figured out at all, right? They've played the Dolphins. That's a hot mess. All right, they played us the Seahawks. Oh, wait, another mess of a running back situation. They played the Cardinals. You know, David Johnson, he's so good. Yeah, and that was week 3, and all they were doing with David Johnson was running him right into Khalil Mack. That's a horrible idea.
You know what? Pausing the Bears-New England game, so after last night's debacle, the offensive coordinator for the Cardinals ended up losing his job. And I really hope that they turn things around for David Johnson. Not just because I own him in season long, but that guy is just a high-end elite talent that was not getting used properly. I just...
Absolutely not. And I will say this. It's Byron Leftwich that's replacing him as the OC, yep. Right? He was there with Bruce Arians when Arians was using David Johnson how he should, right. And he knows David Johnson. He's not just a new face to him. So I think he's going to use properly. I'm actually suggesting you go out and you try to buy David Johnson from all the disgruntled David Johnson owners who are probably sitting at 1-5 or 2-4. And they're kind of stressing out. And if you could get him on the cheap, I would do it.
Yep. And if you have David Johnson, don't sell, guys.
Hold him. Don't sell.
Write it out.
I actually got offered today Chris Carson for David Johnson. And the guy was like, yeah, it's totally going to go through. I could just see him sitting there in his chair laughing. I'm like, dude, I do this for a living, man. No. So I turned around. I offered him Deion Lewis for Chris Carson. And he did not like that offer.
That's funny. Good stuff.
But, yeah, so basically the Bears haven't faced a running back, a true running back or true running back that's been played properly. So because of that, I think White and Michelle are definitely viable plays in the GPP.
Completely agree.
You could probably play them in cash, because of that, but I think there's better plays.
Yeah, definitely better cash plays out there.
Yeah, I would not lock them in. But, I mean,
so
if you're into that, go ahead.
Let's talk about the other side of the ball. Is there a cheat code for figuring out if it's a Cohen week or a Howard week?
Yeah, absolutely. So go ahead and just never play Jordan Howard again. Tariq Cohen is the man. I am sold on that guy. Just So many people want to say he's game script, and he was game script all last
I
year. He was a
know.
game script player, and this year he does not look like a game script player anymore. Jordan Howard, just something's wrong. Like, the guy just does not look like what he used to look
He
like.
doesn't. And it's frustrating because, look, last year I was right where you were. You know, Tariq Cohen and everybody got on him, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, nope, he's a game script player. And it was back to the Jordan Howard show. And I'm one of the people, I own both of them. And that's super frustrating because I don't want to start both of them. And when I think, all right, this game script says Howard. Nope, no. It wasn't Howard. So, for anybody else who is struggling between Cohen and Howard, I'm starting to lean more towards the Cohen is safe to go ahead and go with for the rest of the season.
Until he proves me wrong like 2 weeks in a row that he's not a safe season-long start, I'm rolling with him. I picked him up in my David Johnson league where I needed some help at the running back right before he blew up. And he's been my RB2 for 3 weeks straight, and I have been very happy.
So
I definitely like him, and I'm considering for cash. I just – he's solid.
Yep. At $6,600 on FanDuel and $5,100 on DK, I really, really like this guy in cash this week. And he'll definitely return value. He'll probably exceed value. So he's personally one of my favorite cash plays for running back this week. And
yeah, all on it.
Wide receivers, what are we thinking?
So in this game, I am staying away from wide receivers both sides of the ball. With the Patriots, it's always a toss up, man. They're so good. They're not that good. Belichick is so good at creating scripts and coming up with basically choreography for his games on what the defense is good at, what the defense is bad at.
Yeah, that's very well put.
He knows these things before anybody else knows them, and then he'll expose their weaknesses. So he's going to go in there, and, I mean, the obvious things we'll see is that, hey, the Bears are good against the running backs. We're probably going to pass more. But who's going to pass to? He's going to know what routes are better against the Bears, with what type of players, at what speed, and what. I mean, he's just so crazy good, man. So he's going to go there. He's going to pick the Bears apart in certain aspects, and everybody's going to guess, and we're all probably going to be wrong.
Right.
So I'd like to stay away from that in cash. And then on the other side of the ball, it depends if Allen Robinson is in or out. If Allen Robinson is in, I'm staying away from the Bears about 100% in terms of wide receivers. If he is out, I don't mind Taylor Gabriel as a kind of flyer play. But other than that, I'm not too excited about the Bears receiving core.
Yeah, same. And tight ends, I don't think that.
You could always play Gronk, but he's not safe for me in cash. He's more like a season long. Like, you got to start him because you probably took him in the fourth.
Yeah. I think Gronk is losing some of his Gronk magic personally, but it's he's safe. I mean, you guys, if just don't force him into your lineup, I guess is where I'm trying to go with that. He's not somebody that you've got to absolutely have. So, what game you got next?
So I need to pull up.
I think I've got Miami Detroit next.
Yeah, that's what I say. I would need to pull up some more lines because I don't have Miami Detroit next, but they are at the bottom and I'm missing their they're over under, so they seem like the game that should be next. So I'm pretty happy that I guessed that. Miami Detroit next. I like only one side of the ball. I don't even think you need to talk about the Dolphins. Just stay away. They're gross. People are going to chase points, maybe. Hopefully not, because they should know that the Dolphins are gross. Just like, yeah, the Dolphins are the best team, right? They won 3 games, and then they go and get torched by the Patriots, who's supposed to stink, right?
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. I don't like the Dolphins, but I also don't hate the Dolphins either. I certainly don't want Brock Osweiler. I think the guy got lucky last week, and like I said at the top of the pod, there's a reason that he wasn't named a starter for any team this year. And I think he proved to us all last year that he shouldn't be trusted. But there are some pieces of the Miami side of the ball that I am interested in this week. But and the quarterback position, I don't hate Matthew Stafford for the Detroit side. At 7,500, I've got him projected for about 20 FanDuel points. And 2 touchdowns. So I think he's a good cash option.
Yeah, for the Detroit side, that's really the only side of the ball that I'm considering this week. I love Stafford. I think he's a cash or a GPP play. He's GPP simply because he's coming off a bye week. People are thinking about the guys that have played already. They're not thinking about, Stafford, who's been a stalwart quarterback this year. You know, he's not done anything crazy, but he's just been consistent. You want that. You want consistency and cash. And he's great. But because people aren't thinking about him, you know, you could get consistency in GPP too, and then get your flyer somewhere else and be a happy person and still have that lower ownership. So I definitely like Stafford in all formats. I just like that side of the ball. I like Kerryon Johnson this week. I think he's somebody you could think about for GPPs. He's getting the start now. He's starting to play better. He's earning his spot, and he's a talented dude.
Yep. I like Kerryon Johnson a lot.
And then I love all three Lions receivers, Golden Tate, Kenny Golladay, and Marvin Jones. I mean, those guys are all just amazing. My favorite play this week is probably Marvin Jones because he's the quote unquote third option. So people are downing him. They're, you know, he's cheaper now. He's not even being talked about. And we have to look back at last year. Let's just look at a full year of games. And Marvin Jones was the number one receiver for that team. I mean, it was on some big plays in certain points, but the guy can ball out. And this year he's not doing bad. Yeah, he's losing a couple of targets per game to Golladay because we're adding a third guy in there.
He is. He's but, right now he's averaging about 6.5, a little over 6.5 targets per game to Golden Tate is averaging just over 10 targets a game. But I mean, the thing is this week, I think Marvin Jones is going to be playing out of the slot a lot. And Miami's proven week in and week out that's probably where they struggle the most on defense is covering the slot. So I really, really, really like Marvin Jones this week.
Yeah, I'm looking at him in cash and GPP. Definitely like him. Great option there. And the other guys are great options too. You could play them all. Not all in the same lineup, please, but you can definitely play them all. I do like a stack of Stafford, Johnson, and Jones, or Stafford, Jones, and maybe another one of the receivers. You could kind of mix things up there with that.
Yep. Now, I mentioned there was a piece of this game on the Miami side of the ball that I like, and it's a GPP only play, but Albert Wilson is getting a lot of looks, and I think in this game, I see Brock Osweiler targeting him more than he targets anybody else, and I think that Miami's going to have to throw the ball. I see them being down, and I think Albert Wilson's going to be his number one target. So for GPP, I really like Albert Wilson. He's definitely going to be in some of my GPP lineups this week.
Yeah, I definitely consider him a GPP play. I just think Miami's gross, so.
Yeah. And I'm not interested in any of the tight ends this week in this game.
No, this year has been a rough year for tight ends. There's about 5 or 6 you ever really want to play, and then that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully the NFL doesn't follow the NBA and say, okay, lowest score in the NFL, we're going to drop it.
Oh, gosh.
Just like, oh, well, just punt your tight end. Well,
exactly. I would just go pick up like a $2,000 tight end and be a very happy guy.
Yep. Next game,
we got Tampa Bay and the Browns coming in at 49.5-point over-under as well. Let's just jump to it, guys. Here's your free square of the week. It's not even close. Just go plug in Nick Chubb.
Yep. I love Nick Chubb this week.
Just do it. He's your free square. He's one of the cheapest running backs on the slate. And guess what? He's the starting running back now. And guess what? The Browns aren't the Browns of old. They're actually pretty good. And guess what? Tampa's defense is atrocious. And guess what? The Browns have been running the ball really good. Wait, who's their starting running back again? Oh, yeah, it's Nick Chubb. I'm all in. And if you don't know, Carlos Hyde was traded today to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which tells you Leonard Fournette is probably not coming back. And if he does, it's not coming back in full. TJ Yeldon has been holding it down, but he's kind of beat up now. They've got Jamal Charles, right? But I mean, what has he done in forever? So
With them getting Carlos Hyde, and I really questioned that whole move when they called Jamal Charles and asked if he was willing to hop up off his couch. Nick Chubb, all the Nick Chubb this week, guys. He's $4,800 on FanDuel, $3,600 on DraftKings. Just
oh gosh. That's just beautiful.
Yeah. Future DFS members who are already signed up, if FutureCast doesn't automatically spit Nick Chubb out for the base optimal, please just go ahead and change his status to lock before you run FutureCast. And for everybody who's not a member, guys, now's the time to sign up. FutureDFS.com or Facebook.com/FutureDFS. We've got football rolling. We've got basketball rolling. We've got hockey rolling. Get on it. And if you give us a like and a share on Facebook, we will toss out a promo code for you to use. Get your first month for $10. So, what else in this game do you like? We love Nick Chubb with our whole hearts.
Yeah, with every blood vessel in our body, love Nick Chubb. Quarterbacks, I'm staying away. Baker is a GPP consideration, mm-hmm. Just because the Buccaneers' defense is so bad. But I mean, you don't have to lock him in because you got Flacco and Beathard in there who are cheaper and I think in almost better position. So, but I do like him. Definitely a consideration for me because I do like his pass catching options so much this week. I think this is Jarvis Landry's week to blow up against this atrocious defense. And if he doesn't, guys, then just go ahead and establish he's a Brown now and he's not going to be the same Jarvis Landry he was before. But if he does, he's back, baby. And let's just keep that rolling. And then I like David Njoku. He's probably my favorite tight end on the slate behind Zach Ertz, and he's way cheaper, so just he's a great option.
Completely agree. I've got him. I actually have him based on price and potential as my number one tight end for this week out of my top five. I think he's in a great spot. And, yeah, that's all I have to say about that. So, Chubb and Njoku from this game for me, absolutely.
Yeah, and with how good the Browns defense is playing, I mean, you could just move right along on the Buccaneers. I mean, they're not really anything I'm looking at too much this weekend.
Same. Anything else from this game you want to grab?
No, I just want to talk about Nick Chubb one more time. Just kidding. Yeah, just plug him in, guys. Don't even think about it. All right, next game up, we got Vikings-Jets. This is another exciting game for me. The Jets defense is not that good. The Vikings offense is very good. The Vikings defense is overrated. And the Jets offense is actually pretty good. Darnold just keeps getting better and better and better as the weeks go by. They're just figuring things out in terms of, like, they don't have any superstars, but they just, somebody steps up each week and gets something done. Whether it's Crowell running for 200 yards randomly or Quincy Enunwa catching all these passes and touchdowns. Hey, guess what? Quincy Enunwa's out. So yep. That opens up some fun options for the Jets receivers. But, yeah, overall, I love this game. This
is probably going to get me choked in Wisconsin and probably have some people in Green Bay just turn off the podcast right now. But when I watch Sam Darnold play, he reminds me of Brett Favre. Just his gritty play style. And watching the way he zips that ball, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, you never really know how a player is going to pan out, especially when they're this young. But I think if this guy continues doing what he's doing, you're going to see a lot more people draw comparisons between him and Favre with the way that he plays.
Yeah, absolutely. Darnold's a beast. I just love this quarterback class from this last draft. I mean, it's just so many great players this year. It's exciting. Yeah. The future of the NFL is very bright.
It's a lot of fun.
So, yeah, starting at the QB, go ahead and start Kirk Cousins if you'd like to pay up at the quarterback this week, because he's gonna do work. And then Darnold is a GPP play, especially against that Minnesota defense. Everybody's so scared of who has been actually struggling a little bit. And then with the Darnold, who's been playing better, I'm not guaranteeing anything because the Vikings defense is still a playoff defense, a Super Bowl contender defense. But being down, the Jets do have the opportunity to have to throw the ball. And I think Darnold's a great GPP option.
Yep. Yeah, I love Kirk Cousins in cash this week. I think that he's going to pay off his $8,000 salary or his $6,400 salary in DraftKings. There's a huge difference in pricing between those two.
That's one thing I forgot to mention. If you're playing DraftKings, just plug Cousins in.
Yeah, I mean, that price is almost locked.
Yeah, and he's pretty much an auto lock on DraftKings based on his price.
I've got him projected out for 2 touchdowns, close to 300 yards. You know, I can easily make a case for him going over 300 yards. He's completing a little over 30 passes per game. He's taken over 43, close to 45 shots per game. You know, we talked about Andrew Luck last week and all of the pass attempts that guy's having to make just because they don't have any other options. Well, Kirk Cousins is, you know, in the mid-40s, and he has options. So he's personally probably my favorite cash play this week. And, you know, with other options, I really don't hate any quarterback for GPP this week that's a viable quarterback that we've talked about. But, yeah. Especially on DraftKings, guys, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, at that price, you can't get by that. Running backs, stay away from the Jets. You never know what's going on there. And the Vikings are very good at defending the run.
And stay away from the Vikings because
Yeah, that's another crazy mess. But Cook is out again, even though he practiced in full every day of the week. So I don't know what's going on with that guy. I'm a Cook owner in one of my leagues. I'm very much starting to lose hope. It's hard. Luckily, he's on the bench for me. But, yeah. And then, so, I mean, Murray is a guy who you could play. I don't mind him for cash this week, actually, just because of his price. And although he hasn't done well when he's been given the opportunity to start against your normal teams, he's not done well. But against Arizona, he had a big breakout game. Granted, Arizona is probably the worst at defending the run. But the Jets aren't exactly, you know, the steel curtain from back in the day. So I don't mind Murray, but with the Chubb news, yeah, you don't even need to play him as a cheap play.
Yep. Wide receivers. Yeah, I mean, there's this Adam. I can't say his name. Never heard of the guy.
Thailand or Thailand's. I don't know. Just
probably a scrub. Just take a shot at him, though. No, I love this guy. The Cousins Adam Thielen combo this week. Cousins Diggs combo this week. It's beautiful. I love it.
Yep. Just plug Adam Thielen in. Anytime you have a cash question, guys, just plug Adam Thielen. He's the safest cash. He's Todd Gurley of the receivers. If you need a guy, just feel free to put him in. He's matchup proof. He's game proof. He's a beast. He just gets the ball just gets thrown at him, and it just sticks to him. Doesn't matter where, what, when, why, or how. He's catching the ball. He's getting you some yards after the catch. He's amazing.
Not in the Geico commercial. In the Geico commercial, everything sticks to Stephon Diggs' hands.
Yeah, and guess what? In this game, it will, but not in every game. So, yeah. So I do like Diggs in this game.
Yeah, Adam Thielen gets almost 14 targets per game. Diggs is getting around 10. Yeah. I don't have a problem with either of them. Adam Thielen definitely for cash. What about the other side of the ball? Any love for Jermaine Kearse or Robbie Anderson?
Yes, 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 yes. I love Jermaine Kearse this week. He's in my write-up over at our website, www.futuredfs.com. And you can also sign up at facebook.com/futuredfs. But I wrote him up. Quincy Noon was out. So all those high-volume targets go to Jermaine Kearse because Terrell Pryor and Robbie Anderson are the big play, over-the-top kind of guys, which the Vikings are going to be shutting down because they know they give it up to the big play and they're trying to fix that. So Jermaine Kearse is going to be underneath. He's going to be running slants and cut acrosses, and he's just going to be in hooks, and he's just going to be peppered and peppered and peppered with all these targets. I like him. I could see him getting 12 targets this week.
Yep.
And catching most of them. So feel free to plug him in. He's $5,000 on DraftKings, or excuse me, on FanDuel, right?
Yep. And so, $4,100 on DraftKings.
Ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo. Here you go, guys. DraftKings lineup lock right here. Take Adam Thielen and pair him up with Cousins, and then bring it around with Jermaine Kearse. Plug in Nick Chubb. Run FutureCast. Call it a day. Just roll yourself to the bank.
Yep. Love it. Tight ends for this game.
Yeah.
Do they have any tight ends? I mean,
I don't think the Jets have actually tight ends. They don't believe in that position yet. Yeah. And
Kyle Rudolph, I don't hate him.
I don't mind him. But I mean, Diggs and Thielen are gonna do so much work that I just stay away from Rudolph. I'm done with this game. If you are
ready to move along.
All right. Next up, we got Chargers Titans. So this unfortunately isn't on the main slate, but if it was, you would just play every Chargers in here. If you play draft, which is a fun variation of DFS, you know, feel free to grab any of these Chargers guys. If you're playing season long, start your Chargers. The London game is notoriously known for having very, very lopsided games. And this will be one of them. The Titans are a mess to begin with. And the Chargers are, I mean, they're, to me, they're like, they're playoff run makers. I think they could make a big run. They'll have a hard, hard matchup towards the end of it, but they're a good enough team where they can do some things. So I love them. Just plug them all in.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, for this London game, personally for me, my favorite player is Melvin Gordon. But, yeah, honestly, I don't want to give away every nugget on the pod. You know, there's some stuff we definitely want to save for our members. And if you're not a member, guys, now is the perfect time to sign up. Again, futuredfs.com or facebook.com/futuredfs will all get you to the same wonderful place. We've got a chat community. We've got the optimizer called FutureCast. We've got cheat sheets. We've got articles. We've got opinions. So now is the time to sign up. I think that we've covered all of the big games. You know, there's definitely some really good GPP plays in some of the games that we haven't really gotten to yet. But, like I said, you know, keep some of that stuff exclusive. Sorry, guys, but, you know, that's just how it is. But what we are going to do for the people that have stuck with us for this hour and 22 minutes of this podcast is go ahead and we're going to run a lineup through FutureCast. So I think that we should probably definitely lock Nick Chubb in there. Is there any other player you want to lock in?
So just to clarify for everybody, we're running a Sunday-Monday slate, correct?
Yep.
Are we doing the DK version or the FanDuel version?
Every week we've done FanDuel, but we could switch things up and do a DK version this week.
Yeah, I think, because we already talked about it a little bit, let's give something similar to what we talked about during the Vikings game, and just plug in this thing and let people have this amazing lineup that FutureCast spits out, and let them win some money so they come back and want to sign up at futuredfs.com.
Okay, so we're going to put Cousins in,
Cousins, Thielen, and then I think we bring it around with Curse and just run it, see what happens.
Okay, so I locked in Cousins and Thielen. Do we want to lock in? Oh, what about Chubb? We want to lock in Chubb,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, lock in Chubb. Yeah, I think we locked those four guys up.
So let's not lock. Let's lock three of them, and we're gonna just love one of them. Out of those four players, which one do we want to love instead of lock? Because you don't want to
over-constrain
FutureCast. So let's
do the value plays, because I think those are the more important ones, because then FutureCast will go through and kind of pick out where to spend, where not to spend, right? And let's see if she ends up putting in Thielen. So let's lock Cousins, Curse, and Chubb and let it roll.
Okay. Let's see. And guys, FutureCast is super easy to use. I mean, it's all laid out rather beautifully. Okay, so let's see. We've got you guys. And okay. That's nice. Okay. Here we go. Pen and paper out. At quarterback, Kirk Cousins, because we locked him in. So we running backs, we've got Saquon Barkley and Tariq Cohen. Our wide receivers, we've got Adam Thielen, Golden Tate, Jermaine Kearse. At tight end, my personal favorite this week, David Njoku. At flex, we've got Nick Chubb. And at defense, we've got the Eagles.
Wow. So I just want to point out, Future Cast is amazing. That's a beautiful lineup. And that's kind of where our heads were at when we were talking. I mean, that's nearly right on the money. So, guys, take that lineup, plug it in, go win yourself some money, come back and spend a fraction of that, just a little peeny penny on it, and get yourself a subscription to Future DFS. Plug in as many lineups as you want to Future Cast. Talk with us on a daily basis. Get all our draft, our notes and analysis and articles and everything else you need. And let's do this every week.
Yep. Dude, I had a great time on this pod. So looking forward to doing it next week. And until then, man, have a good one. Good luck this weekend.
Awesome. Thanks. You too.
All right. Talk to you later, man.
Later.
Everybody, thank you. Again, futuredfs.com, facebook.com/futuredfs. Get signed up today. Give us a like. Give us a share on Facebook. We will toss you out a code to get your first month for only $10. It's absolutely worth every bit of that $10 and more. So facebook.com/futuredfs. Give us a like. Give us a share. And we will talk to you guys later. Take care.
Take care, everybody.